Lord. Let's all stand. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, as Lord, we gather, Lord, to Lord, sing songs unto You, Lord, and to hear Thy word this morning. Lord, we ask, Lord, sincerely from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, that You'll dip it into our hearts. Lord, let it take hold, Lord, and live through our lives. Lord, the greatest thing we can do in this life, Lord, is to live for You, Lord, and express through us. Lord, we appreciate the opportunity, Lord, to gather once more this morning. Lord, we uplift Your holy name this morning, Lord, and everything that's said and done be done for Your glory and Your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to turn our only believer to page 5. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that called me from a world of care and bid me we desires for thy return. Amen. Please, God. Amen. That's our desire. That's our longing. Page 207, the same book, Only Believe. Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Sellers, you mind taking up the offering this time? Sing a little chorus, "We Are Standing on Holy Ground."
We are standing.
Song in our heart, special. Anyone at all? Amen. Well, let's all stand at this time. Let's sing a low chorus, "Only Believe," as we ask our brother to come.
With our heads bowed again for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we again realize we've gathered here today by your mercy and grace. And Lord, we realize also by grace that, Lord, we're living truly the last very few moments of time. And Lord, the Holy Spirit is crying out in our hearts to get ready. And Lord, I think many times of that vision the prophet saw of that little bride going around the curvature of the earth. He saw a few little ladies getting out of line, and he began to scream back, "Get back in line. Get back in line." And Lord, we realize there's many things in this life that's trying to distract and to get people out of line. But Lord, may we, through grace and your mercy, have our hearts open continuously. And Lord, may we pray often. And Lord, our minds in tune. And may we be sober-minded. That Lord Jesus, knowing the enemy is trying all he can do to detour us. But Lord, help us today now as we bring forth this little portion of the word and open our hearts to it. That it would mean something to us, Lord, and be a greater reality to us. Lord, we realize without faith it's impossible to please you. And Lord, out of the depths of our heart, we want to please you in every possible way. We ask now that you bless us as we commit ourselves unto thee, that thy will be done. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Amen. Well, I'm happy again to be here. How about you? Amen. So glad to see you all here. And those, again, so many here that drive so far, I just really appreciate that. And I'm sure the Lord will bless you for that too. And I pray God will bless us with his word today and just open something up to our heart. So let's turn our Bibles, if you'd like to, the book of John, St. John's Gospel, in the 10th chapter. And let's read the 34th down to the 38th verse this morning. I want to talk about a little subject this morning, and you know, sometimes we may not think our actions are too important, you know, and we talk a lot about actions, and the prophet did, and in other words, it's the life it's manifesting, and so forth. But I'm trusting today, after we get done, you'll see why it's so important, and see why the ministry must do this. So we find in the book of John, 10th chapter, and let's read 34th to the 38th verse. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, see of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." May the Lord again bless you in his word, and may be seated. You know, as we read that, you know, if you look it up, when he's talking about works, it's actions, deeds. And, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ brought forth many actions and deeds that proved that he was the Messiah and proved that he was the Son of God and God dwelt in him, and that it was the very flesh that God dwelt in. And it just clearly vindicated. And same thing, you know, God's word, the true word for this day, the message of the hour, was truly vindicated through the prophet of this day, and William Marion Branham, and showing that he was the prophet that was to come and to bring forth a message. And it was a special message. You know, it wasn't just a message, it was a special message. And as I was thinking on these things and just praying and waiting and just see what the Lord had for us out of it, I began to think of many different things. And of course, you know, and sometimes some people may still not quite understand, and they may even have maybe bad feelings, but maybe just some awkward feelings of why so many times we go back to things in the message, within the message, that is about the life. You know, there's many things to preach on. Absolutely, there is. And I've preached on many things over the years. But it seemed like as time comes on upon us and we're coming to the end, it seems like it's so important about this life. It's so important about the very actions of Christ being in us, being lived through us. Or in other words, we hear so many times manifested through us. And as I go into these things, I want you to think about some of the things Brother Timothy brought Thursday evening and how this kind of just fits together with it. And as I said, though, I want you to really have your heart open once again and listen to what we're going to read, what the prophet said. And again, just asking the Lord to open your understanding. Again, if we come in here and think, well, I'm not going to hear anything that will help me, you know, I'm just here. I guess to me, I honestly don't know why anybody would be here with that kind of attitude. I just can't figure that out. I mean, you know, just to want to be here. Because there's definitely fancier places to be at, finer buildings, more well-renowned men, smarter people, just all kinds of better things as far as look at in the way in the carnal way. So, as I said, why anybody would waste their time to step a foot in the door for a purpose just to be here, I don't know. But anyhow, we want to bring these things the prophet said, and I want you to keep in mind these actions that we have, because again, we all have actions, as I've said before. You've got actions today, as you may sit there. You may have an action toward something you hear. You may have an action because maybe you don't quite believe it, or you have an action because you really believe it, or because you see it really manifested, and then you'll have actions when you go out the door as we talk to each other and we converse back and forth to each other of different things we talk about and say things and so forth. And maybe of things that's happened this past week, or maybe something that's going to happen this coming week, if the Lord should tarry and all these things. We all have actions. We'll have actions as we go home, and we spend time at home with our family. You'll have actions when you go to your job. If you go back to work tomorrow, you'll have actions that come forth. So there's a lot of things we have actions about, and it's just something we can't get out of because it's there every day. It's in everything we do. And by the way we think about things, it causes actions. You know, we respond to different things. If maybe somebody says something and maybe you don't like it, there's an action comes forth sometimes expresses, I didn't like that, you know. Or if somebody made something that you really liked and you thought, my, that's a nice conversation, you'll just, smile and everything. Actions come forth. So it's everything we do. I don't care what we do. Every moment, we've got actions. And as I mentioned Thursday night after Brother Timothy got done, you know, I mentioned one of the things was, is it seemed like here in the last couple weeks, it just keeps expounding to me and getting larger and larger and more important and more important when the prophet talked about our actions declaring him, which we'll read it today. And then he goes in to say, all, what you think about, all, our actions declare him. That's a big subject when you really think about it. When you really open up your heart and just begin to let the Holy Spirit deal with you. And then to begin to open up the Word and open up the Scriptures and open up the quotes the prophet said, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And as this gets enlarged to you and gets more important, it just seems like actions that isn't him just are so sickening. Whether it be in your own self that you're doing or something like that, it just makes you feel so dirty, so ugly, so bad. You know, But I'm thankful for that because of the Holy Spirit dealing with you, you know, and saying, this ain't right. Don't you do that. That's not Christ-like, you know. That's a blessing to have that. Because many will go on through this day and have those actions and not think a thing about it. I mean, it won't even cross their mind. It would be of just non-existence that there would be something there, an action coming forth that isn't Christ-like. So as we go into this, just so you, I said those few things so you can kind of see the channel we are going to, okay? And then why, you know, we may hear a lot of ministers today, and we may go places and hear different ministries, and, so, and not a thing wrong with it. I always encourage you, if you want to do that, fine. But you'll never hear me say, just stay away here and stay away. You let the Holy Spirit be your guide, you see, and lead you to do what you do. But the thing of it is, we may hear some things and we wonder, why isn't it like this? Why? And you may come to the point that may seem to you that there's only a couple that's hammering down on this life and actions and things like that. I think you'll see why as we go into this and see why it's so important. Okay? In this time we're moving into. And we know it's finishing up. It's getting very close. All right. We'll go read first this quote. And he says, "Be not." And he titled it, "Be Not Afraid," June 7th, 1963, paragraph 101. And Jesus said, "Who can accuse me of unbelief? And if I don't do the works of my Father, okay, if I don't have the actions of my Father, then don't believe me." Now, I know a place Brother Branham said when he was reading this, he said, could not we say the same thing? Yeah. Then he says, don't believe me. But if I do the works, okay, if the actions comes from me, okay, and yet you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. So you see, he was doing the same thing God did. You should really pay attention to that. He was doing the same thing God did. That's how he says it. Okay. Now I want to ask you, brethren, he says. So we'll just let him ask us the question today. Okay? Because the word is inspired, and this word ain't dead. This word is alive. You see? So it's alive to us today. So the same question comes out to us today. Now I want to ask you, brethren, and you sisters, if the life of Jesus Christ is in the church, okay? Are we believed, don't we? We're part of the church? The called out ones? Okay, not just this little group, but wherever the little bride is all over the earth, okay? We believe we're part of that little group. Is that right? All right. Now, I want to ask you, brethren, if the life of Jesus Christ in the church, or is in the church, then surely the church should do the same thing he did. Because the same life is in it. And then he goes on to say, like he said many, many times throughout his ministry, he talks about fruits, you know, like the pear or the apple and this, that, and that. But he goes on to say here, if he stands a peach tree and I take all the peach life out of it and put apple life in it, what kind of a fruit will it bear? We know that. It would bear an apple. If we take all the peach out, or peach out and put apple in it, it's going to bear apples. Okay? Apples, he says. That's the kind of life that's in it. Well then, if the life that was in Christ is in us, we hear so much about. Oh, we know it without reading it. It's just there, you know, because we've heard it so much. And again, as we said a few weeks ago, hopefully it don't become common. You know? He says, then if the life that was in Christ is in us, it'll bear fruits that he bore. It's so simple. And like I say, it's so simple, it almost seemed like it would just run over top of us, you know. But I trust we'll see why it's so important to renew our minds back to this. And to go into these things, we're going to go into this, on about it. We might say, well, I don't believe it's that important, these actions, you know. Because we're human beings, and it might be, we're not Jesus Christ. We're not the same body. I'm just saying these excuses people come up with and think through their mind. I was born a human being. I got flesh and blood going. I got blood going through my veins. So I don't think it's that important that every action really declare Christ. I mean, you know, I'm born from mama's womb. You were different, you know. Well, let's just go in and see what the Word says. Okay? Because if we was not to be the ones that all our actions declare Him, He wouldn't have said so. But He said so. Now, that doesn't mean there's going to be a lot see it. That doesn't mean there's going to be a lot of them that it's important to. But there'll be a lot of them that runs over the top of their head, and I'll never see it. And therefore, by not seeing it and not believing it, you think they're really concerned about all their actions declaring Christ? If they want to still go to a restaurant and act like a fool, or if they want to drive down the road and act like a fool and do just stupid things that's not Christ-like, you think they're going to care? No, they ain't going to care because of the top of their head. They won't understand it. They don't believe it, you know. So those actions just keep right on coming. Somebody may say something nasty to them, they'll just spout right back and get all angry at them. Because it just goes right on top of their head. They don't believe it. And possibly wasn't even born for it. You see? Because remember, this is a very special people. We talked about last Sunday. Very special. It's not just the normal human beings. These are sons and daughters of God. See, very peculiar people, special people. So, like I say, and by going in this, I'm trusting we'll understand maybe why the ministry, if we'll say it this way, because you hear it so many times that way, hammers at it, chisels at it, yeah, presses at it. Why? They will understand why. Of what it's supposed to bring it to. Okay? So let's go on here. I'm going to read in the Church Age book a little something here the prophet said, and it's on page 238, and it's under the title, A Final Warning. And he's reading about Revelation 2:23, which we all know, but we'll read it again. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. There's actions. Yeah. Now we may not think, oh, this ain't important, our actions. Let's just listen to what the prophet says. We'll see why it's so important. And remember, every moment of our life is actions produced. From everything we do. Okay? God looketh on the heart. That has never changed. Neither will it ever change. He says, through all the ages, there are two groups, both proclaiming the revelation from God and the relationship to God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them which are his. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord searcheth the reins, he repeats. The word search means to track or follow up. So just think about that. Remember, we have to think before we act, is that right? I mean, it's just as simple as it could be. And there's no way you'll get around it. What you you're going to act on what you're thinking. Okay. The word search means to track or follow up. Hey, can you imagine that? God is so interested that he follows up on our thoughts. Think of that. So our thoughts ain't very important? Oh, yes. Because he follows up on them. Yeah, he tracks them. Tracks them. You ever think you'd have somebody tracking your thoughts? You know, there's people without the land, you know, they might be put on house arrest, or they may have to put a bracelet around their ankle with something they've done, something they shouldn't have done, and they're always constantly being tracked to make sure where they're at, what they're doing and everything. But just try to think of this, that our thoughts are being tracked. Now, man can't track our thoughts, but God can. Tracks them everywhere they go, what they think, what you're thinking about. What's going through that little mind? God tracks it. God tracks down our thoughts. He says, our reins. He knows what's in our hearts. Yeah. He sees our works. Yeah. Which are a definite manifestation. Now listen to how he says this. I'll read it again. He sees our works, which are a definite manifestation of what lies within us. Think of that. So his actions are pretty important. What's coming out? Because it's a definite manifestation of what lies within us. He said, it is out of the heart that proceeds either righteousness or wickedness. Our motives, our purposes, he says, are all known unto him as he watches every action. And he says again, and every action, every word shall be brought into judgment when the accounting of our lives is given. There was no fear of God before the false vine. That's what we was talking about a little bit ago. Some of it will never bother. These things go clear over the top of their head. They may hear these things today. There may be somebody online that will hear these things today. And they'll never change nothing. They'll be absolutely no different whatsoever. They'll be 6 weeks from now what they are now. They'll be 6 weeks later. And never change. That what I'm reading from the Word of God, what I'm giving to Him from the Word, will absolutely just vanish out into midair. It'll mean absolutely nothing to Him. And there'll be no change, I'll say again. Okay? Do you realize, saints, how many times in preaching, as near as I got it figured, about 1,500 messages since I've begun the ministry? How many times I've seen people not do a lick of what I said and showed them in the Word. Not a lick of it. That's the first thing. And yet can come to church and say they're a believer and say they believe the prophet and this, that, and the other. But things like this, what I'm going to bring today, again, in another little channel, will they finally catch it? Now you may ask kids, well, how are they going to catch it? Possibly sitting there, receive the new birth as they listen to that word. The Holy Ghost may come down and shake them. Say, hey, it's time. It's time. But there is coming a time where people won't be able to get the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Don't forget that too. If it ain't already happened. He says, and every action, every word shall be brought into judgment when the accounting of our lives is given. There was no fear of God before the false vine, and dearly shall they pay. Let all who name his name so live as become a saints. Oh, let's read that again. Let all who name his name so live as become a saints. We might fool the people, but we will never fool the Lord. Always remember that. There's a lot of sweet people. There's a lot of kind people. There's a lot of loving people. And they may fool a lot of people, but they'll never feel they'll never fool God. Never. Impossible. So let's go on now with this, and just renew our minds of this before we go on. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And paragraph 461, what I was talking about earlier. Listen closely now again as we go on, going back to the original Eden. Then, when we are born of Him, we are filled with Him. We know what He's talking about, being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a new birth. He says, your life, He says, His life. He stops there and He says, His life is in you. Well, when you've received this new birth. Okay? His life is in you. Then, all our actions should declare Him. Why? Like taking life out of one tree and putting it into another. Take a life out of a pear tree and put in an apple tree. There he is again, saying it again. It'll bear pears. It's got to. Because the sap, the life in it, the germ is pear tree. He says, all right. Now, do we get that, what he said? Okay. He says, then, he repeats one more time, then all of our actions should declare Him. When? When we receive the new birth. All of our actions should declare Him. Now, I've went back to the word before, saints, and tried to show you of what really happens when you receive the new birth. Time and time and time again. So, what is the problem when our actions don't declare Him? And yet my tongue says, I'm born again. Now, remember, I'm just telling you what this prophet said. Okay? Just bring it back to your minds again, to stir your pure minds to the way of remembrance. Okay? We have His name, is that right, he says? Congregation says amen. We should bear His name. And remember, we are now, as His bride, pregnated with His Spirit. The Word's been born again. Oh my, the church-bearing children, see, pregnated by His Spirit with His name, bearing His name, bearing His life, bringing forth the signs of His life, bringing forth the signs of His life, evident with the preeminences, evidence of His resurrection, showing that He is not dead, but alive forevermore. This is eternal life. Keep all these things in mind. We're going to be saying here in a minute. And vindicate, see, it vindicates to the world that we are alive in Him. So we can ask ourselves the question. And those around us can verify it or not. Does our life vindicate to the world that we are alive in Him? Or do they still see us trying to cheat Him out of this? Or say something to try to get back at Him. Or to say something that would stab and jab at Him. Is that what kind of life? Is that our actions? You know? Some people have stabbed and jabbed so long in their life, they can hear this word and it still don't mean nothing to them. They just keep right on stabbing and jabbing, trying to even try to hurt their brother. You know? Why? Isn't there anything at all inside there saying, boy, stop that. Stop that. But that old tongue just lashes it right out, and as if nothing was there to stop anything. I'd hate to think I served a God who was no greater than that, that couldn't control the tongue. Because only the Holy Ghost alone can tame the tongue. Only. And if he had no more, and Lord knows I'm not trying to say this to be disrespectful, but to try to bring a point. But if God was no greater than that, I wouldn't serve that God. But God is that great to control the tongue. and control everything about you and have the full preeminence of your life, so what ends up being the problem? Is Christ in there or not? But as I've said before, it's just so easy to say with our tongue, I got Christ in me. I'm a believer. I came out of this, I quit believing that, and I believe this message. Do you think that really means something? Do you really think that means something to come out of something and say, I believe this message? Do you really think that means something? Well, you've been fooled. There's only one thing that means something, and that's if Christ's life is in us. That's the only thing that means anything. Do you know how many people are going to burn in hell that know everything about this message? But the thousands and thousands, friends, they go to church faithfully and going to burn in hell because the message is just a message to them. It's not Christ in them. And that's what it's all about. His life may manifest through us. See? Does it mean anything I come out of Pentecost? Does it mean anything? No. Well, it's good that you did. You have to come in this message. Does it mean I come out of Methodist church? No. It's good. You got to come in this message. But you think that's where it stops? But a lot of people think that's where it stops. I came out of this and I'm in this now. It sure don't stop there, friends. By no means. No. That's why we have so many that don't know a lick about the literal life of Jesus Christ. That's why I have so many women in this message dressing, attracting men's attention, men lusting after them. With their tight little skirts on, tight little bosom, things showing their bosoms. Sex curls in her hair, doing all kinds of just nonsense, stupidity, I call it. It's because they've never come to Christ. If they do, it'll stop. Like Brother Branham said, if the scripture says don't do this, quickly the body will come to it. But do you think we got that quickly turning to it going on in this message? Very few are quickly turning to it. It's just become, I believe, a message. And lost as lost can be. You see? But again, now you'll see why these things have to be said. Let's go on. All our actions should declare Him. Let's go on down. He says, how do you know? Because you're a church member? No. Because Christ is living through you. That's how you know. So pregnated with His Spirit that you are a prisoner to nothing else, you or to anything else. You're confined, oh my, to the gospel, confined to the Word. And all the children that you can bring forth is, He said, that's all the children you can bring forth is that because you're a prisoner. You can't commit adultery. You're already pregnated. Glory. He can't take, He says, He can't take a hold. The womb of life is closed to anything else. Oh, the womb of life is closed to anything else? Yes. You're already pregnated, see? You're already His by predestination. That seed has come to life. No world can get in. And some of you sisters may still have the excuse, well, it's just I ain't got time to make my clothes, or I can't find the right material, or I can't this, so that's why I buy mine. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be a rare case that you buy something that's right. Rare case. You might, and there's times you can. But I'm going to tell you what, it's really hard to, especially if you ain't got the right kind of thing on the inside. Well, I bought this. It's a little tight, but oh well. So it's oh well, some man lust on you. It's oh well. It's okay. Somebody lust on you. And you both, before him, commit adultery? Guilty. Guilty of the very act of adultery. Very guilty of it. Same thing. Because Jesus himself then said, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after already committed adultery. You start already with her. So it's oh well. It's a little tight. It's oh well because it shows my body. It's oh well, the heels is a little too high and I get to swing my hind end. It's oh well. Well, it's oh well. Okay, oh well, burn in hell. Because that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
He says here, and you become a prisoner surrounded in Christ, Christ in you, his life bringing forth his evidence, his signs. Oh, my, bringing his signs of life as evident of his resurrection, proving to the world that eternal that's eternal life, and vindicates to the world that we're alive in him. Oh, think of it, he says. Maybe we'll move on, save a little time. In conferences. Now, this is where I also mentioned what I mentioned Thursday night, too. In conferences, June 8, 1963. And the only way you can ever be like him is be a part of him. Which, Lord, will I have another message to go on further with that to kind of go over. And the only way you can ever be like him is be a part of him. That's the only way you're going to be like him. Otherwise, you won't be. And I won't be if we're not a part of him. He says, on the day of Pentecost, the great pillar of fire that had followed Israel. He said on the day of Pentecost, and then he stops for a minute, and then he goes back to the pillar of fire that followed Israel. The great pillar of fire that had followed Israel, or Israel had followed it through the wilderness. See, that great pillar of fire was God, the angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasures than that of Egypt. So he forsook Egypt and followed Christ. Notice on the day of Pentecost, what did God do? He had taken that big pillar of fire and divided it. So it ain't different, is it? Same pillar of fire, only divided it. That was himself. Tongues of fire, forked tongues, cloven tongues, come down, forked tongues, and set upon each one of them. Just let this fire come to this fire, and after a while you'll find out it'll move that. It'll come up through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and find out the pyramid will be capped one of these days. What is somebody going to say? You know it'll never be, he said, you know it never was capped. The pyramid on the back of your dollar, the great seal. It says, and we in America here is the American seal on this side. But why did it say the great seal? The one that Enoch made. Not pyramid doctrines now, because I don't believe in that kind of stuff. But they never did cap the pyramid. Why? The capstone was rejected. But it will come again someday. Praise the Lord. And see, in that pyramid, I've been there, it's honed so close to even you can't run a razor blade. There's no mortar in between it. It's just perfectly set together like the same stone. Now pay attention to what he said. It's so perfectly set together, it's become like the same stone. Sin is for type. And when the church gets honed into the perfect image of Jesus Christ, he will come. I'm going to tell you what, a lot of message churches need a lot of honing. A lot of honing. But you have to see it. You have to be able to see it. It has to be made real. He will come and resurrect all the saints when he comes and take them with him. The church of the living God will be caught up. That's what I'm looking for. But they got to become so perfectly like him. So perfectly. So perfectly. But brethren, we'll not be like Eve. One have this and one have that. A disfigured body. It'll be word by word. See what's important? What God said. How in the world do you think it's ever going to come to where a body can be caught away with all this stuff people keep adding and changing and doing this, that, and the other. And don't give a hoot whether there's actions coming from them or not. It's Christ. How do you expect ever God to take and catch away that people? He won't. But there is a people that will be ready. Say, Brother Branham, why did he say that then? You never told us. All right, Peter spoke it. When they wanted to know, how do we get into this? What happened? He gave us the formula. Peter did. Very simple formula. Now he said, shake hands and join church. That's what it would have been. Huh? And he said, stand on your head. That's what it would have been. Nope. He said, well, organize a great man and make a great body and a great pope and a great this and that, and that's the way it would be. That's the way it would be. Nope. But what did he say? Repent. Every one of you. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and them that is far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. As long as God is calling, it's got to be the same formula. Now there was a formula, and we spoke about it a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago. We talked about this formula. And as odd as it may seem, actually Sister Esther, if she'd go over, she'd probably tell us about biology, you know, because she's studying those things. But it takes all these different nitrogens, carbons, and oxygen, all these different things. I don't know the names of all of them. And you put this together, and it depends on how they're put together to what you come up with. You know, even all these different carbons and different things you put together makes up the caffeine in coffee and tea. But it depends on how they're put together, how it comes up to be that caffeine that's in the coffee. Yeah. Well, God has it. Now, that's a formula. Of course, scientists and biologists say they can draw these things up, you know, and make them look like something you don't even, can't even figure it out. You know, to me, it's just craziness, you know. But anyhow, on this, God has a formula. And if that formula isn't just the way God said it should be, it don't work. It don't come out. But God gave us a formula. If we'll listen to it and obey it. Yeah. How many times has really people done this? I didn't bring it with me, but another place Brother Branham talks about this formula, and he talks about, you know, how they waited. Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power on high. How many people really do this tarrying and praying and waiting and crying out to God? But they come in and just say, Lord, I would sure love you to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And they go out and then they just get into all kinds of things in the world and this, that, and the other. And they'll come to the next service and feel a little bit convicted. And they'll, Lord, I want this Holy Ghost. I want this Holy Ghost. And that's the only time you really want it. It's when you sit here. But Brother Brown used the formula. He said, go ye until you tarry there until you be endued. Until you be endued with power on high. How many would really obey that formula? But no, they're just, it's kind of a life of just hoping by chance it's going to hit me one of these days. You know, and it's a funny thing. Maybe one of these days I'll get it. If I keep going to church, you know, I'll get it maybe one of these days. That's about all it's become. Instead of people really sincerely crying out to God. And the formula is right out there. Formula this, and this formula in the Word, and this formula in the Word, and tells you exactly if you don't have it, what it's going to be, but it don't work. And we just, act like we're just kind of dazed, you know, can't figure things out. We wonder why things ain't working right. Wonder why we can't get this and can't get that and do this, that, and the other. Because we didn't obey the formula. You see? But again, why is all this? I made a few notes here. because we're going to. Now, this formula put together in a flesh body, this is how it's going to work. This formula is placed in a body, a flesh body, and it has a special germ of life in it. Special germ of life in it. The soul. That nature. And remember this, Brother Branham said, the church age book also, for only the elect can be born again. So it's very special. It's a very special germ of life. Only the elect can be born again. Okay. But remember this, it will cause actions that other human flesh can never do. It will cause actions that other human flesh can never do. And then I wrote the quote down, "This is a life you can't live yourself," which was in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, paragraph 215. Okay? So it's a life you can't live yourself. But again, now, why is this so important? Let's go on. Let's just follow. Just give me a little more time, will you? All right? Signs of this time. And this was November 13, 1963, paragraph 113. "And now we've left Pentecostal age, and now we're coming to where, like in the pyramid..." Somebody says again here. "Not pyramid doctrines now, but I mean like as the pyramid. The headstone, when it comes to fit..." We know the headstone is Christ. Don't we? Absolutely. "It's got to be honed. It's got to be honed. There's got to be a ministry in the church." Now I'm going to tell you, friends, that prophet came. That ministry came to the church. To that prophet. Now what are we going to do with it? Okay. He said, "There's got to be a ministry in the church, the true church of the living God, to where when the headstone comes," which is Christ, he says, "or the ministry of Christ, and Christ will fit right in together perfectly. Then that brings back the redeemed to take the whole house of God the glory." That's not talking only about the bride in this time. But he goes back to talk. He says, the Methodist, the Baptist, Presbyterian, all the true ones back in those other ages. "Presbyterian through the great Reformation ages that come out and gave their lives and persecutions and things for the kingdom of God. But the stone is coming." Yes, sir. It certainly will come. God will send it. "And it'll fit all the building together upon it." Oh. Now we see these signs. We see the ministry from Christ beginning to narrow up now to complete the ministry of Christ in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Under Luther, it was same. He said under Luther, it was the same Holy Spirit. Justification. Now he had a minister before, you know, came here. There was no Holy Spirit back then in other ages. Nonsense. Can you imagine a man in this ministry and his congregation said how he'd study it. And can't even get that right. It's a shame. Under Luther, it was the same Holy Spirit, justification, then sanctification of the Wesley, the messages, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, making three, not three steps of grace, but three stations, I might call it. Notice like this, when a baby is born, there's three things that constitutes its birth. The first thing in normal birth, would you adults listen close now, the young children will never catch it. Let's see, he said the first thing in normal birth is water, and then blood, then life. Now that's the same thing that constitutes the new birth, water, blood, and spirit. The elements that came from his body is what makes his body. Well, that's real chemistry there. See, it come from the body, he says it come from his body, and is the material that takes to make his bride, because Adam had his bride taken from his body. Christ has his bride taken from the body. And when Christ died, there was three elements that came from his body, water, blood, and spirit. Justification through believing, water, sanctification through the blood, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now this last great step must come into perfection, that the Holy Spirit has to live in that church so
perfectly. See why it's so important? Chopping, honing. The Holy Spirit has to live so perfectly in that church that called out ones. Not just a building full of people, but it has to live out in those called out ones so perfectly. Oh. It'll make the head and the body unite together. It'll be so one, it don't even have to have no mortar between it. It's so honed, so perfectly honed, that it becomes one. Wow. That's important. That's why I believe, this is me speaking, any true fivefold ministry all over the earth will be making sure the sheep get what it takes to get them that perfect place. So exactly like Christ. Oh, there's a lot of things we could talk about. A lot of things can be preached about. But friends, we're living in the last moments, and you better pay attention. You need something that's going to make you just exactly like Him. That all of our actions declaring. All of it. Not just what we feel we can do in ourselves, but every action declare Him, whether what test and trial comes. For the trying of your faith is so precious, friends. Oh, so precious. It'll make the head and the body unite together, see? That's the body. He is the head and the body. Now we find out He promised it in these last days that it would be done. Okay? Can you imagine what a body we would be if we had this gap? And it'd just be midair. We could put our hands through our, what an odd-looking, deformed body would be. But He said, we are the neck part that joins it all to this body. Yes. Oh, my. And it's all what? Christ. Is that right? Absolutely. Okay. Let's go on. In a message influence, March 15, 1964, paragraph 248. Now the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who appeared on the earth in the form of a man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, buried, rose the third day, and ascended into heaven, where He now sits at the right hand of the Majesty, sending back the Spirit that was upon Him, called the Holy Spirit. God come upon mankind to fellowship, to carry on the ministry that was carried on in that glorious body of Christ. Supposedly, now to come as the pyramid is shaped up like that, the headstone never was put on it. Why? It was rejected. Now way down, he says, the church has constantly come to minority. Think of the pyramid. The church constantly came to minority. Okay? Has come on now till all the church ages has run out. It's got to be honed. That stone has to fit straight in. Has to. The ministry that was in Jesus Christ has to be in His church. How'd that happen? Through the prophet's messages. Fits right in. By the ministry today, saying the same thing. And by the Holy Spirit being there in their lives, brings it to manifestation. But what if I take that message God gave us to a prophet, and I cut this out, and I try to change this a little bit? You think it's going to sit nice and smooth? Because every time something's changed or added to or taken away, it puts something lopsided. Yeah. But when you keep it all the Word, it makes it come out just as straight as can be, and it fits together just like it has to. And it'll fit right together with that head. It's got to be honed. That stone has to fit straight in. The ministry that was in Jesus Christ has to be in His church.
to make Christ come for the church, to raise up every age to bring him, to bring it out. Oh my. Well, think of this perfect message today God gave us. And to think we would have the authority to twist it a little bit and change it a little bit. Make it lighten up a little bit so it doesn't hurt somebody's feelings. Make it lighten up so the so-called brethren could lust after their sisters. Lighten it up a little bit so the women could attract the brothers' attentions. Yeah. Lighten it up a little bit so the brethren could go down the road and make a fool of themselves, trying to run people off the road because they got so aggravated. Can you imagine what that would look like trying to fit that together? When it has to be the same! You see? But it takes that honing. Shaving off. You see? Let's go on real quickly here. I'll try to finish up at least on this part this morning. Identified Christ of all ages, paragraph 134. He says, just like a pyramid growing up, the Lutheran first, Reformation, Wesley, Pentecost, and now being honed right in. For when the headstone comes back to the pyramid, it will have to fit like the rest of it. You can't even run a knife blade between it. It's so perfect. And so will the ministry in the last days will be so close. Oh my. Like your hand being the positive and the shadow of your hand being the negative, as they become, after a while they become one. They become so, and that's the way the church becomes. Now you know what he's talking about. You know, it's probably the lighting wouldn't be right, but if I take my hand, you can see a shadow here, which is not, yeah, I guess you can see it there. But if you just keep on going and get honed in, it finally becomes the same. There's no difference. It's honed right into the same. Now you're coming up with all actions declaring him. But along with every action he declaring him, you've got this, you still see, oh, it looks like something different here, you know, but it's, but I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants it honed in where it becomes the same. And that's what we've got to see. That's what we've got to understand. That's the reality we've got to have. And when you begin to get that reality, you do one thing wrong. You make one boo-boo, one mistake, it'll make you so sick to your stomach. Oh, yeah. But why do we keep doing things? Because it don't make us sick to our stomach. It doesn't even bother us. So what? I boo-booed. I'll put it under the blood. So what a boo-boo's there? Do you think that's anything overcome? With that attitude, you'll never overcome. Well, Brother Steve, that's why the blood's there, to cover that. Absolutely. But not with that attitude. But it's got to come to the point, friends, you make one boo-boo, it makes you so sick and you feel so bad, you want to get it in the blood immediately and overcome that thing. It'll make you so sick to see a woman with something on so tight it shows her whole figure. It'll make you so sick. Not you have anything against the person, but that sin that's there. Unbelief. That's why women do that. They don't believe it. See? Why is men still joke and cut up and act like some stupid idiot? Getting into dirty jokes in the center because they don't believe it. Friends, it's got to be declared to this nation, this people, that Jesus Christ is alive. Are we going to be that people? Or do we want to be like the rest of these messy churches, a lot of them? I'm not saying all of them. But do we want to be like them? Not in a day I want to, friends. There ain't a church around I want to be like. I want to be just like Jesus Christ. Yes. I'm not here to follow a church. I'm not here to try to be like another group of people. I'm here to be Christ living in me. Yes. Because they may have it all but one word. I've got to make sure it's every word in me. Every word. Because it's got to be so exact. So honed. So everything's shaved off that ain't Christ. It's exact. See? It's so perfect. And so, well, he said, and so will the ministry in this last days will be so close. I just read that. He says, talks about the hand. He said, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Identifies him perfectly with Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know you're a part of that forever? The same today and forever? Yes, absolutely. It won't change. Harvest time. And we'll close. Won't you sisters come up, please, if you will. I'm running out of time. The harvest time, December 12th, 1964. Now, in here, he had just explained about the statue of Michelangelo's statue of Moses. Okay, you know how he got it so close, and then that he said, speak, and he took the hammer and hit it on the knee and threw a chip out of it, okay? Now, notice, when he seen that perfect one, Christ, now he's talking about, he struck him and marred him. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. What was he? He was that perfect word reflected for bread that every man shall live by. He was that wheat of God's word that could be ground and put into flour, Gospels, 66 books. And man shall live by that and that alone. And every word of it, amen. Every word of it. He said, that was Michelangelo's masterpiece. He goes back talking about Michelangelo's. He says, and when God could see himself reflected in man, he had that perfect man created in his own image. Oh my, what a man. He had to die for us all, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He could stay on, he said, we could stay on that, but we won't. He said he had to die for all of us. And he died, the perfect one. That we, imperfect, could be made perfect in him. By partaking of every word. Every word. Not some of it. Not 99.9% of it. But partaking every word of it. Of his Bible. Now then, he raised him up again for our justification, that we have a right as a raised, he said, we have a right as a raised Jesus, that he is here now to minister to us every word of God that we should live by. And if I read these same things that prophet said and what the scripture says, I know it's every word. But it's got to be so exact, such a perfect fit. There can't even be mortar between it. No. There can't be a little pebble of unbelief between it. Because what's this going to do? I know you men have, but maybe your sisters haven't. But you ever take two concrete block and try to set them together and just be a tiny little pebble between it? And it throws that whole block off when you're trying to just set them down with each other. It'll make it unstable. It'll make it roll. And be such a tiny little pebble. Yes. Yeah. It may be such a tiny little gravel here, pebble here, whatever. But by the time it gets up here, oh, it's that wide of a gap. Because it's getting held up clear back here in the middle. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, friends, any unbelief that's in there at all is not going to let it set flat. That's why we need the Holy Spirit through His Word to shave it all off so it's just exactly like Christ. And truly then all of our actions will declare Him. Yes, all of our actions. May the Holy Spirit strike your heart with that. All of our actions declare Him. That means when you talk to Uncle George, that means when you talk to Aunt Susie, that means when you're working with Bill on the garage, or you're working with Jennifer at this building and at the dinner place and whatever it may be. I sure trust that we'll be a people that in any time an action comes from us that's not Christ, we're going to feel so dirty and so bad and so sick-feeling that immediately we'll put it under his blood and ask God to forgive us and ask him to give me revelation or something to overcome this. People just keep coasting by and just keep coasting by like it's, oh, it's just a boo-boo, Brother Steve. Why are you so worried?
What a sick thought. A sick thought. To have that thought.
It was just a boo-boo. I just made a mistake. Can't you overlook this and that? It ain't what I overlook. It's what God looks at. I have nothing to do with it. It's what God says it is. And surely if you've got a real true revelation of what God's trying to do in these last moments of time, you too will be so sick of your ignorance. Your nonsense. Yeah. Well, it's anything contrary to the word. Anything. Oh my. I hope the Holy Spirit deals with your heart. Because I'm telling you, it's going to run out, friends, and it's going to run out quick. The time is. Yes. It's getting so close, friends. The red mark of the beast is coming on. Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. Yes, it will. How close is it that they'll close these doors? I don't know. But they've already exercised things to show that they can, oh, this worked. We can do this too. Won't be no problem. They'll get used to it. Oh, they'll cry about it for a while. They'll get used to it. Yeah. Oh, my. Oh, my, my, my. But that'll be the day, as the prophet showed. I read a little quote this morning. When they go about closing these doors, and they say that you can't preach this gospel. And he began to talk about those disciples. Shall we obey man or God? We shall obey God. We have to sneak around a little bit. But we shall obey God. Not man. When it comes to that. Yeah. I'll give them a few things. I'll give them the benefit of doubt of a few things. But friends, they ain't going to tell me everything to do. No. Not when it makes me break out word. It ain't happening. God's grace. Amen. I trust it's been a little something to make you think a little more about something. Amen. And think about why old Brother Steve sounds like an old Paul Parrott and pressing on this and honing on this and chipping on that. Maybe you'll see why it's so important. Yeah. Yeah. Trust that you will see. Amen. Let us all stand. Praise his name. You know, I think many times when I even oftentimes am reading the word or maybe listening to the prophet or listening to the message and something's really striking my heart, I often think about the little psalm, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, O Lord. Amen. Let's sing that and dismiss it. I need thee, O every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Fathers, we come to the close of this little service and trusting, Lord, that somehow you just make these words more real to us. Whatever our portion, maybe it would mean something different to somebody else, Lord, and maybe help them in another direction of what we even brought. But Lord, your word is inspired and it's so alive, and we just trust somehow today, Lord, something's been brought from your word that will be a strength, encouragement, and cause a greater press in our hearts. Lord, we're here for a purpose. And Lord, your word must be fulfilled in our lives. And we must see that we are the people that's chosen for this. And it may cost us, Lord, much tribulation. It may cause us to, Lord, be disliked at times. It might be cause us to have to lay something aside that the flesh likes or wants. But Lord, it's worth it all to be your child. Lord, regardless of what goes on and what is in this life, one of these days, Lord, we'll lay this life down. And Father,
take on that precious eternal life, Lord, where roses will bloom forever. Oh, Lord, where we'll sit around an apple tree, maybe in fellowship for 1,000 years with one of our brothers or sisters, whoever it may be. What a wonderful time that'll be. Father, sometimes we get our minds too set on things of this earth, and our affections is on things of this life and earth, but Lord, may we center our affections on things above. Father, we ask now thy will be done, and guide us, lead us, and keep us safe upon the highways again, Lord, as we travel, make our travels from here to home, where we may be. And Lord, again, I ask that you bless us in a special way that had to drive so far. Lord, I know what it's like to drive a distance like that, and what a, sometimes it's very uncomfortable. But Lord, I'm asking that you would bless each one and just make it easy for them. And Lord, may they be blessed some way for doing so. So we pray thy will be done in all things now in our life as we dismiss from this little place, but not from thy presence. Let thy word be fulfilled in our lives. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you.